Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to the ACE Relocation Nation. Happy to be here in the conference room or the studio where the temperature inside is approximately 99 degrees. Working today without my regular co-host, Anthony Johnson, who is out doing a job walk, but we've got some great fill-ins today. Coming down for a big meeting that we had yesterday with TQL, our main freight broker, the one we use to move trailers loaded and unloaded around the country and LTL traffic, our vice president of operations, Mike McHugh, and our director of interstate planning, Mr. Clay Peterson. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
It's great to have you down here for a couple of days. I think that being in the same building is very productive, and we got a lot going on. So, kind of just want to catch up a little bit. It's been a while since we've all three been on, and it's been even longer since we were all in the same room. I think probably convention in November.
Sounds right. It's fun to watch each other run around like chickens with no heads.
So the last time you two were together, though, was probably the truck show in Dallas. So, Clay, what'd you think of Atlas's first ever truck show?
I thought it was good. I mean, it was a good idea, first-time concept. I think everybody that was there enjoyed it, parlaying that in with the driver meeting itself. I think it went well. The ACE boys showed up, MLOC, Alexander's. Believe there was an InterWest driver there also, so it was a nice first showing. I can see that easily growing into something bigger. I think we got second. Herb West shot out, second place at the truck show. So it was a good time, and we got to hang out with some of our contemporaries from MLOC and other places and Goldens. So it was a good trip. It was a good show.
I noticed that Landline magazine, online magazine, picked up an article about the Atlas Truck Show and did a nice feature where Herb was featured, his second place truck. Mm-hmm. Number one winner was Grant Imlock from Imlock, obviously, mm-hmm. who was not present, but his equipment was there.
He had a stand-in.
Was it Swindle?
Swindle was the driver, but I guess the guy that runs with Grant was there and for 2 days was out there spitting and polishing that tractor from head to toe, dealing with the chrome, wiping it down. It's a pretty ride, stretched out.
A very nice feature for Atlas Van Lines and for ACE in that. And Mike, we had a couple retro trailers down there. Our first two retros that came out of Evansville were shipped down to Dallas for that. How did that go over, Mike?
That actually went very well. Everybody was very, very interested in seeing them. A lot of pictures of them, a lot of social media posts of them due to that. As you showed me yesterday, we just wrapped the first tractor in the nostalgic original green with the original Atlas logo on the door. Looks really good.
If Vince Connor took charge of that, and he knows somebody there in Montclair, California, graphics related.
Graphics by name. Are us.
Graphics are us. that's near Fontana, but he got that wrap done within a couple of days of us actually approving the estimate. So it looks fantastic, and it's in service, as is the other original one, under Julian Greer.
Yes, it is. He was happy to get it. He thought it was really cool to be pulling that 60s retro decal trailer around.
That's actually the first trailer I remember as a kid when I used to go up to ACE in Rochester. They had some old trailers that had yet to be painted to the blue stripes, Flying A. And I remember seeing those in the yard. Of course, the toy trucks that were always around there were of that paint scheme. So we've done two of each paint scheme. The last two are assigned, but they have yet to be put in service. So we will have all four of our 2024 trailers that we ordered this year were done retro. So it's very limited edition. It's for Atlas's 75th anniversary. And I do know that other agents are getting those too. So we will not be the only ones, but it's most important that it's recognized that we are the first.
Who's getting the other two? Josh Keel and
Dean Schmaltz.
Dean Schmaltz. So we got a little East Coast, a little West Coast.
The whole idea was to keep them regional. So we get them in and out of our markets regularly. They're tandem axles. So it's not, we did not order spread axles this year. Knowing that 2023 and 2024 were going to be weaker than normal, we did not do a big investment in trailers. Typically, we buy 15 trailers over the road and local combined, and we just dropped down to 4 trailers this year. So when we were at convention, Atlas was celebrating the 75th anniversary, and they had the original cream and green straight truck cutout that was on the stage the entire time. And that's where I approached Atlas management and said, we're going to do that. And, you know, what are you going to do? Say no? It was part of the mojo. So it was right time at the right place.
And there's I kind of like the second paint scheme better. What was it? The 70s one where it's the green and yellow stripe. I'm partial to that.
That's the 60s, but it bled into the 70s. The original one was from the 50s. Obviously, if you go back to 75 years, Atlas started in 1949. I mean, we're talking post-World War II. It's to the eye, it's, I think that my favorite paint scheme of all is our current, but the, you know, the original ones and the, and we're not an original Atlas agent, but Ace Worldwide, where we were spun off of, was probably started right around that second paint scheme.
Wow.
Mike, one of the early agents at Atlas Van Lines has just rejoined Atlas, Sudeth, out of Jacksonville, Florida. They have big time Atlas roots. They're going to be getting some of the retro paint trailers as well. They bought a bunch of trailers when they converted over to Atlas from Atlas Terminal Company. And I think they're like, hey, we've got this wrap idea. Let's do that. So I know, Mike, you are working every day with Sudeth and their conversion. How's that going?
Actually, it's going very well. We're helping them everywhere we can, providing them assistance, hauling assistance, OADA work, process with AtlasNet, all of that. I think every part of our company has been in contact with Sudeth, helping them. They also utilize Mover Suite in Great Plains, like all of our accounting and financing does. So they mirror us a lot.
We predicted that they'd be a good fit for our van line, and in particular for our locations, California especially. They don't do household goods in California, but they're big in Texas. They bought Darrell Flood. That's a big part of their operation. But what we're seeing is a massive shipment count from their bookings into our system. And that was what that's what I was hoping for. And I've known the folks in Jacksonville for a long time. I was happy, you know, that they were rejoining the family, but you know, the greedy part of me is like, well, you know, this is going to help our top line and eventually trickle down to the bottom line. So it's a boost for our organization to have them in here booking their traffic, national accounts, COD, and of course, they've got a huge military presence.
They do. And I think our locations fit well with their business makeup also.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they were always competing with us, right? So at least they're now competing with us on the same tariff. But when they win, we're a plus hauler, right? We haul 115% of what we book. We've got that extra capacity. We do haul a lot of other agent traffic now. This will augment that and give us a chance to grow again. So let's just hope next year our trailer order is much bigger than 4 and we'll get some spread axles again. But Clay, what are you seeing on a daily basis out in the system that wasn't there before with Suddeth?
Well, and right about the time that they joined back with Atlas, you could see the available tonnage list grow almost overnight. And they got more familiar with the Atlas system and the, you know, how the throughput for putting their traffic out there on available tonnage. That list, especially on the West Coast, has doubled, tripled. But we're getting a lot of that traffic direct. We're speaking directly to their planners. We're getting, you know, offers through their portal. E-Ton, I believe it's called, Mike, right? Mm-hmm. The E-Ton board where it comes straight through and we can pull the traffic off of there directly. So the shipment count has been impacted majorly, and it's because of their addition to the Atlas family, which is a benefit for anybody that wants to haul. And last time I checked, we were in that game.
Yeah, and I'm kind of anxious to get going again. And we were having conversations with TQL yesterday. Ryan and Juan flew in from Jacksonville. Coincidentally, TQL and Suddeth are not affiliated at any, you know, they just, TQL is actually out of Cincinnati, Ohio. But our representative, Ryan O'Leary, is down there in Jacksonville. They came in and we started talking about, you know, how we want chaos back, how we want to be running and gunning and running our offense. We're starting to see signs of that. I'm starting to feel like we're needing creative solutions. And actually, it's been too long since we really had to do that. I mean, almost 2 summers. I mean, 2 summers ago, we were doing it. Last summer, it was just pretty much very humdrum.
It was nice to have the problem of trying to figure out how we were going to fix 20 shipments that we didn't have a real plan for. And, you know, TQL was obviously, Atlas Logistics was too. And I'm looking forward to having to have those 4 o'clock conversations on my last brain cell with you and Mike going, how are we going to get all these shipments moved in the next 48 hours? Oh, yeah. Trailers. Got it. Those are fun times.
Yeah, those are fun times, and they're problem solvers too. And what I like about them is if they have an issue, they're on it. It might be our equipment. It might be the brokered tractor. It could be anything, but they're on it. Like overnight, your trailer needed a tire. We got it done, and you know he's rolling again. That is Ryan O'Leary's team that does all that. They are very proactive, and I feel like there are on call 24/7. And I know I have called O'Leary at 10 o'clock at night, his time. So that gives us a lot more confidence. And when we first started out running and gunning, we were trying to solve problems with smoke and mirrors. Now we actually have a real life partner that solves our problems for us.
Yeah. I mean, we first started this, we were doing Railcan back in the day, and you know, that worked until it didn't work, and we needed a faster solution with, you know, more real-time answers and ETAs and delivery schedules, because I hear customers are into that kind of thing. So, you know, TQL coming to the plate and being part of the solution system has definitely been huge for us, and hopefully will continue to be huge very, very soon.
They took us to a nice dinner last night to Javier's.
Yeah,
that was good, but way too much food. I waddled out of there. But those guys actually missed lunch. And I don't know if I missed a signal or not. We set the appointment for 1 o'clock and they came in here and we were just finishing sandwiches because Jersey Mike's was delayed in delivering our grub. And they're like, yeah, we haven't eaten since breakfast. I'm like, so when we got to dinner, they were starving and ordered a huge array of appetizers, and I think I didn't really need an entree, but I did eat it.
You were forced. It would have been rude not to.
I have food guilt.
That's okay. We forgive you. This is where the healing begins.
I agree with ate way too much.
Mike was falling asleep in the car back to the hotel.
Yeah. You guys had that detour. Did you have to go back up to La Jolla Town Center and turn around?
I just made that left over there by the cemetery and did a hook shot and came back around.
Yeah, okay. We drove in between cones and I just ducked down. We were good.
You had a seatbelt and an airbag. You were fine, sir.
Yeah, you should have made a left before the gas station. It was too late for me to signal you. I didn't know what we were running up against there.
I didn't remember if that went through all the way to that next street, because I know some of these do and some of these don't. So I was like, I'm just going to go with what I know.
So what's up? I mean, we've got a couple of big things happening. Mike, I know the PVO meeting, they went over the big changes for Rule 4. And you sent out an email earlier in the week that explained some of the big changes. I mean, what do our drivers need to know about Rule 4, which it revolves really around safety and their fines?
It does. They basically have, there will be no more point system. Everything's going to revolve around 10th Street and affinity training. And they're going to be very proactive on violations. So it's not going to be points. They're going to notify you of the violation. You're going to have to do virtual video training. And it's going to be one warning. Second warning, you're going to get a fine. Third warning, you're getting suspended. Fourth warning, you're getting drivers are going to be referred to the PVO board. Are you worth keeping on Atlas, or are they going to cut ties? So they're getting a lot more stringent, and it's the amount of risk we have out there that drives all this on the freeways in, you know, traffic with other people.
Well, I think if there is an accident, the plaintiff's attorney or the other party's attorney, whatever will happen, will ask to subpoena all those records. So any van operator that's not taking their training, has a backlog on training, is going to stand out. And you and I were just at the SALTA meeting in Dallas, which is our insurance captive. You can tell everybody is in a position where they have to clamp down, because you could get into situations where you have to try to defend bad behavior. And the proactive nature of the Infinity program, what Atlas is doing, is actually going to help us defend our van operators who may not even be the cause of the accident. It's like 80% of accidents between cars and trucks are the fault of the cars, but the trucking companies pay 90% of the damages. So between cameras and proactive training and running a safe environment, we should be able to flip those numbers around.
We should, but the biggest thing I noticed going to Dallas twice and San Diego now in a month period, every eighth commercial is about an attorney and how to go after a big rig. Every bulletin boards, commercials. Yeah. They see a big truck, they see big dollars.
Yeah, and it pisses me off too. I see those commercials and they're like, we will hold the insurance companies accountable. I'm like, your driver is a clown. Our driver did nothing wrong, and you're gonna take it out on our insurance company. But anytime we get the other party represented by an attorney, we know it's likely to drive up the cost and we'll have to settle, because the cost of litigation is exponentially higher. But everything we can do to protect ourselves is saving us money and time. But when we can start saving money on premiums, we can pass that on to everybody. But the cost of insurance is just going up, up, up. California is, one of those states where they call it a hellhole, a litigation hellhole. Texas is one, Florida is one, New Jersey, Illinois. They list this litigation hellhole. State Farm, like a good neighbor, they're pulling out of a lot of areas in California for homeowners. I mean, because of such a litigious environment, and you have natural disasters. So, I mean, we're really in an insurance crisis as a country. So our ability to be insured and bankable are two big mantras here. We've got to be insurable and bankable in order to survive and thrive. So preach.
Not going to be any ACE relocation without those two things.
Yeah. I mean, I can't find another job at this point in my life. I kind of need this one to work out.
Yeah. I've been here for a little bit too. I don't know. Would you like fries with that, sir? That doesn't really appeal to me.
So Clay, how long have you been planning trucks at Ace?
We were actually talking about that earlier, and I guess this is the beginning of my 12th year in long haul dispatch. I was planning a few trucks locally against other people's knowledge probably before that.
Out at Ace 15.
At Ace 15.
Sending what some happens trucks. At Ace 15 stays at Ace 15.
I don't even know what you're talking about. there was a few straight trucks there back in the day that used to enjoy running up and down New York, New Jersey, back to Maryland, or down to Raleigh, Durham, back to Maryland, and we did pretty good that way. So I would, if we're counting any of that, then I would say 14 years. I guess this is what, Mike, what year did I start working in Seattle? 2008?
2007, I think.
Okay, so that's when I got off of the road and got inside the building, so rapidly approaching 20 years. What's that, 17 or 18 years? You put up with me for 17 or 18 years, and that doesn't even count when I was driving between Orlando and Maryland. God bless you.
Well, under your leadership and you know, those who have been here before us both, that put us in a position to have all of what we do, and Larry's investment in systems and equipment put us in a situation where we are going to be the number one hauler for the 10th year in a row. Wow. I mean, who knew? But you were, when we were chatting earlier, I was asking you about where we were when you started 12, 14 years ago, whatever it was, what position we were in. You kind of rattled off this very knowledgeable scenario. I'd love to hear it. I'd love our audience to hear it.
I think about it all the time. I know it was at Ace 15 because I was still there, and it's when they had just done that first floor addition. They took out that old break room and all that and put in what exists there now, I'm guessing.
Yeah, the shower room that wouldn't drain, the whole reproduction of that facility, of that office space.
So we were sitting in the waiting area, and the trophy case was in there, and I said, I said, what do we have to do to get one of these trophies for hauling? And we were talking about it, and I think we were, I'm almost positive we were fifth at the time. And it was February of that year. And I said, well, we could move up, right? And the conversation, you know, in my head, whether it's 100% accurate, was, you know, we were fifth at the time. I said, well, how far are we behind first? Because I had no idea. You know, I didn't even know the players. I didn't know the other agents who was where in the world of hauling. He said, well, we only have 4 or 5 months before the end of the convention year. It doesn't start at the beginning of the year. It starts July 1st. And I think we went from fifth to third in that 5 months, which was surprising because, you know, I wouldn't say I'm cocky, right, Mike? But I am. I believe my own press, and I thought, you know, we could move up. I didn't think we were really going to move up that high. And then I made a comment. I said, we can be first. And you just kind of smiled. You said, yeah, we can. And it was it the next year or the year after that? We were the top hauler, and we haven't relinquished that title yet in the last almost 10 years now.
So I knew we would get this year, and I felt like that was no problem. And with the Suddeth conversion, I was concerned that the end of our reign as top hauler might come. And of course, there's some people behind us that would love to have that spot, no doubt, but we're going to get up earlier in the morning, and we're going to work later into the evening to make sure that doesn't happen. I think we've got a clear path to be 11 years, 12 years. I mean, I always want it to be forever, but I think we're going to face stiffer competition now that the largest agent group in United is now in Atlas Van Lines. So, I mean, their traffic is going to be out there for us to grab. Other agents are working with us closely to move their traffic. We have our own ability to book. At one point, we were a $40 million booker in Atlas Van Lines a couple years ago at our peak before this relocation recession. Yes. that's, you know, we can't control people moving and, you know, but when they do want to move, we'll be there for them. But I'm feeling right now that with all the things that we have going for us here on, you know, the end of April, we could be getting hot again. I'm not saying we will. I'm just saying this could be the start. And I always tell Larry, when we feel these things coming, and you can see it in the data, it's like, I want to be the last ones into a recession and the first ones out. And I know we're not in a recession, if you will, according to the federal government, but sure feels like one.
Well, I mean, all the data that I've seen over the last couple of days since I've been down here in San Diego, you can definitely see that the table is set for us to be transitioning out of what has been the last, you know, 8, 10, 12 months, whatever the time frame really is. But things are there. The information's there. The shipments are out there. You know, some of them don't have dates. A lot of them don't have dates. But there is a very real scenario where this, you know, downturn that we've been experiencing for, you know, 8, 12 months, whatever the actual timing is, could be coming to an end, or at least a very healthy pause very soon.
The last several weeks, we've seen an increase in order taking.
Massive.
So, I mean, we're getting these orders in the system. They're showing up in our will advise, but they're not quite setting dates yet. Well, and people set dates later and later for their moves. You're seeing more renters moving. That's just cold, hard facts. The shipments are likely to be renters, especially coming into California. It's very expensive to buy here, and there are other markets where it's very expensive. But the fact that renters are kind of, they always move. They're going to be the core of the business. But when the homeowners start going again, we will definitely be in position to book private client, national account, the GSA stuff. We've got the same sales force out there that's ready to pounce on that new business. So it's just a matter of when people start deciding to change their states.
Yeah, the sales force definitely hasn't stopped knocking on doors and picking up phones while we were down. So if things are ready to turn around and people are ready to move, our people have been setting the table on that side too, ready for, you know, the phone to ring. They already know we're ready for them.
I got a question for you on that. What is your take on the continued exodus of the West Coast?
Well, I feel like, and you probably know Washington State a little better than I do. I feel like Washington is inbound and outbound balanced. So we send a truck up there, we load it pretty full. Within a couple of, you know, within a week, that truck's reloaded full outbound. So when you say the West Coast, I mean, let's talk specifically about California. Because I don't think Arizona is a factor necessarily. There just isn't much, it just doesn't move the needle enough. But California itself, you got to divide in half. So the NoCal is really overly expensive. People are not going to come in there. But those are the same people that have made a ton of money in technology. They're selling their homes for 200% more than they paid for it. They're leaving. They're leaving the state, or at least leaving Northern California for more affordable areas. Some of those people are coming to San Diego. We're seeing that. And Apple built a big facility over here, and they just completed their second building. So their campus right across the bridge from us, we're moving those people in from the Bay Area, from Cupertino, Santa Clara, that high cost area of the Bay Area that we're close to La Jolla, which is not exactly a low cost market, but relative to San Diego, it's cheaper. And you can always tell a Bay Area person that moves into your neighborhood. They have an ugly dog and they're wearing a 49ers hat.
I thought you were going to say something of they've got water conservation buckets outside or something and they're hugging their trees. Isn't that the...
Now, in Southern California, if you want me to answer both parts of your question, this is how I see it. L.A. is L.A. There's a... What do you have? You've got entertainment, you got law, you've got some technology incubator companies and all of that, but it's definitely, you're going to see more outbound movement from LA than you are inbound. I lived in LA for 8 years. I would never trade those days in, but I would never go back. But if you're from LA, I mean, that's all you know, you love it, right? It's not, I won't knock it. It's concrete jungle. But then you come down to San Diego where you're not seeing people move back to California, or in particular San Diego, like they were in our heydays. Because if you're leaving your house in Nashville, you're leaving your house in Charlotte, and you have to buy a house in San Diego, you're going to pay a significant amount more for a home that might be 1,400 square feet in a neighborhood that's a lot older, right? And you're not likely to move into La Jolla or Rancho Santa Fe unless you are getting a very big job title at one of our clients.
Yeah, half the bang and double the buck basically is San Diego County.
And those people can maybe rent a condo and just fly back and forth and work part-time remotely. But the same thing about the outbound. People are cashing their equity in on their homes, and they're moving to low cost areas. So I don't know how to solve. I do know how to solve that. One, they need to cut taxes. It's just people hear about California and all the taxes that are paid out here, and businesses have left because of it, et cetera, et cetera. There are fewer jobs here. So until Sacramento kind of figures that out, I think that's going to be the cycle we see. Ton of wealth has left California. What we'll do is move those wealthy people out. That's fine. But what we really need is that balance that Seattle has, where people, as much weight is coming in as going out, whether they're renters or homeowners, we just need that weight coming back. But what I do think that the thing about it is, where we have an advantage is we're grabbing that traffic from other carriers because they don't want to come to California because of the CARB restrictions. We're way closer to CARB compliance than the other agents in our system, and we're continuing to move closer to our target every day. It is, I think, an advantage for those moves that are coming back, that we'll have a good solid crack at getting them, whether we're the booker or not. Dropping the mic.
Or at least a pen.
Pen drop. So bulletin this morning and on AtlasNet, pricing adjustment for shipments loading after May 15th. Not exactly keeping up with inflation, but the tariff is being raised 1.55%. I can tell you why it's not keeping up with inflation.
Why?
Demand is low.
Right.
So there is an increase in our tariff, but you're going to see probably higher discounts on the private client stuff versus what we were doing a couple of years ago, where we were turning down business. Now I think we're going to be competing harder against the other van lines to book orders.
Sure. And we've been, you know, doing that already, trying to make sure we're getting our share of them. Yeah. You know, it's going to be a different pricing dynamic on the West Coast than it is on the East Coast. You know, the need for the New York to California traffic is high, where the need for the California to New York traffic is not as high. So the prices on CODs, the discounts are going to look a lot different coming out of California than they will coming out of the Eastern Seaboard to California.
So you're working regularly with Russell in our pricing.
Yes.
On the private client side. Mm-hmm. You're talking every day.
Every day. Yesterday afternoon, from the TQL meeting on, we got 23 shipments, you know, requesting discount pricing. So Mike and Jeremy and I have set up a grid, a table that we're trying to follow, you know, for standard shipments without anything too off the wall as far as geographic locations, destination, or origin. And it seems to be working. We started doing it during convention, and we've been running it all the way through now, and we definitely have seen more bookings because of that. So there's no reason to stop doing it.
And that's measured in closing percentages, right? We're closing a higher percentage of the orders we're getting a look at because you're providing insight and what we can put our pricing at versus us going to Atlas and asking permission. And because we're self-hauling 95% of our own traffic, probably 100% off the West Coast, you have a pretty good idea of where we need to be. But that's kind of changed your role. You're not spending as much time on the phone dispatching as you are actually trying to pump shipments into the system. I mean, that's kind of a space you've moved into versus doing the actual dispatching anymore. You're kind of helping sales and working with other agents, putting more traffic into our system. So it's kind of fun to watch you evolving into this new role.
And it's out of necessity. If this was 2021, there would be no conversations about me looking at pricing and things like that, because we were, you know, we were getting beat over the head with shipments and we were having to scramble to find solutions for, like we talked about earlier, in this current climate. You know, the interest rates and people just aren't moving as much. And, you know, the people that are moving are trying to save every penny they can. So it gives me a different opportunity to try to feed, you know, the system. You know, if we can get one or two extra moves a week, it's a worthy cause. We need those shipments to fill up our drivers so our drivers can stay busy and stay rocking and rolling and making money. And if this helps, you know, doing this program with Russell, then we'll keep doing it until we don't need to. But it is working. But it is definitely a lot less of the me talking to EVOs and me actually talking to COD salespeople and trying to, you know, trim a day off of a spread or 1 point different on a discount to try to get more stuff into the system for us to haul. And that's definitely different, but I'm liking it. It's fun. And it's a different angle for a guy that's historically been a planner dispatcher, where I'm not a salesperson. You don't want me selling moves for you because it won't be a very good success rate, but I can help the people that are good at it book one more move just by 1 point difference. So it works.
I think it's been beneficial overall though, Dan. We adjusted when we saw things change. We created new opportunities. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, we have 7 of our retail salespeople in the Atlas top 20 at the end of last month.
It really is remarkable. Can you name all 7?
Mike, you have the floor.
Oh,
so I'm not going to make you do that, but I do want to bring up a point.
Come on, man.
Mike, you're familiar with the term Wikipeterson, right?
Here we go.
We're talking about the guy at the other end of the table from you.
So yesterday, Ryan's traveling companion and his general manager. He's a Washington State guy. He's a big Seattle Seahawk fan, and he's like Russell Wilson's one of his heroes. He's, you know, can't wait for him to have success in Pittsburgh. And Clay starts naming off Seattle Seahawks quarterbacks. He went backwards. No, not their turn to talk.
Oh, come on.
Mike, do you remember he rattled off like 8 quarterbacks in a row and he wasn't wrong. Rather than name the salespeople, name those 8 quarterbacks.
Right. Ooh. And remember that this happened because you were bad mouthing Russell Wilson. And I said, remember what it was like before you had him minus one quarterback.
So if we go backwards, let's go from.
I want these chronological order.
Oh,
prior to Russell Wilson, and go back to the Largent days.
And I will just remind you that we have a time limit on this podcast.
Hold on, I've tried to Google.
All right, your time is up, Clay. Go ahead quickly.
Hasselbeck, Meyer. I did them all yesterday. Hasselbeck, Meyer,
with Margarita DeBerg, help.
The margaritas definitely help. Steve DeBerg, Jim Zorn, and there's one in between Hasselbeck and Wilson. And we have Locker. No, not Locker. The other loser.
Not fair that he hasn't had a margarita yet.
Yeah, I'm really good when I've had some alcohol.
All right, but at 8:15 p.m. On April 23rd.
This is where I thought we were starting. Oh, by the way,
2024. La Jolla, California, Wicca Peterson was wrong.
I got my Van Halen albums messed up. Oh, by the way, from when I was 6 and 7 years old.
I was just shocked that you were wrong.
I got it mixed up by one album.
So he's like, oh, OU812. Yeah, that was, I'm like, what, Van Hagar? No. He goes, that was Diamond Dave. Like, yeah. I don't think so. Yeah,
1984 was the last one. And then it was For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge and then OU812. I got it off by one from when it became Van Halen to Van Hagar.
I know.
My bad.
I just know that you're rarely wrong. And it
happens a lot. If you talk really fast and use a few expletives, nobody ever questions you.
Clay, were you a mean kid in middle school?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Who's asking?
It's just, it's in my notes. I was wondering.
What are you, a cop? I mean, no, I think I was kind of a goofball more often than not with a very short temper. Kind of like now. I like to have a good time. I like everybody to have a good time. Just don't step on my feet. or even think about touching one of my knees because apparently those are ready to explode at any day.
Well, go ahead and push the queso away from you next time. It might be good for your knees.
That will definitely piss me off. Don't touch the queso. Except for whatever that was that Ryan O'Leary ordered last night. That they ordered that spicy cheese, and both of them took a bite of it, and I thought they were both going to breathe fire because it was really hot.
Was that habanero cheese?
Yeah, it was two different kinds of peppers. Yeah. Cooked into the cheese, and they both made a horrible miscalculation by ordering that. They did not look like they enjoyed it.
Even the waiter's like, no, I'm Mexican and I won't touch that stuff. I like spicy food.
Because I asked him what it was and he said, nah, I don't eat that. That's too much. You don't taste the cheese. You just taste fire. Hard pass, please and thank you.
Well, it's tough for me to keep my two most productive operations people sitting in a conference room talking to the audience. Very good show today, gentlemen. I want to thank our listeners for listening all the way through to the end. I want to thank Mike and Clay for coming down to San Diego and hanging out for a couple of days, being productive and being on the podcast. I want to remind everybody this podcast is carbon neutral. And we are the first podcast to ban TikTok. I want to thank our triad and, of course, our Chris Smith, our podcast producer with Podtastic. We have just celebrated 1 year of using Chris's services, and we have renewed. All right, everyone.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks for listening. Tell a friend, and we are out of here.
Deuces.